Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. I'm excited about this show. We're actually talking about staying positive and avoiding negativity. Now, before you turn the dial because you think this is going to be a show about rainbows and false realities, it's not. But even if you are sitting there with a scowl on your face, as cynical as they come, even you can admit the world could stand a little more positivity. You know, research is beginning to reveal that positive thinking is about much more than just being happy or displaying an upbeat attitude. Positive thoughts can actually create real value in your life and help you build skills that last much longer than just a smile. So we're going to be digging into that and so much more. Plus, we are going to be featuring independent singer-songwriter Annalise Emmerich, a self-starting 20-something singer-songwriter who has been on the road virtually nonstop for the last 7 years. Choosing to leave behind any semblance of a normal life for the day-to-day life of a traveling independent musician was always a no-brainer for this Nashville Spitfire. So I know you're going to love her music. So if this is your first time tuning into the show, my name is Kendall Boyson, and I'm a professional life and recovery coach and the founder of Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. So I stumbled upon this life-changing revelation that encouragement is really the seed that motivates the world. It really opened my eyes and shed light on so many new possibilities. It was my chance to give back and really make an impact. Plus, it's free. And believe it or not, it gives you a healthier boost than the person you're encouraging. You know, we all need encouragement, no matter where we are on our journey. Some of you may be super independent and a self-starter, but you can always use a little validation and a chance to be heard. So Encouragementology has so many different applications. But the common thread is to reach out, to connect with another human being, take the time to understand where they are on their journey, and then offer some words of encouragement. Simple, right? So keep that in mind as we talk about staying positive, because, you know, you first have to be in a good space in order to offer words of encouragement to someone else. Wouldn't you agree? If you're feeling down, it's really difficult to muster up a smile or a kind word even. Isn't that the true challenge? Staying positive in a negative environment. A negative world. I mean, we live in a negative world. If you really want to step back and kind of look through your fingers, there's a lot of negativity out there. Sure, there's pockets of positivity. But you can't turn on the news or browse your social feed or even have a water cooler conversation without negativity layered in at some point. So let's get real for just a minute. For some, it's not just waking up late to work and not liking your six-figure job. You know, there's real life struggles out there, and they're all around us. And even if you aren't directly related to them, it's affecting you. So it's important to get the bigger picture so we can understand why there's so much negativity. So bear with me for a minute. I might bring us down just a touch, but I promise to pick you back up. Did you know 21.5 million Americans are struggling with addiction? So I told you we were going to get real for a minute. You know, 83% of people in rehab will relapse. Can you believe that? I mean, how depressing is that to think that that's reality? You know, suicide rates have gone up 30%, and 54% of those people were not previously diagnosed with any mental illness. You know, social media, which promises to connect us, to keep us connected and informed, is creating social zombies. Wouldn't you agree? 81% of teens are engrossed in social media. Now, that number hasn't changed in the last several years, but the frequency has. It's doubled. 78% of teens admit if given the opportunity, they would check their social media hourly. That's what they're doing on their phone. This behavior is crippling our social interactions. You know, the data isn't out yet, but I think we can all agree this is going to have a major implication on this generation. And don't even get me started on the political scene. Well, I can't really get started because it's hard to stomach all the smear campaigns. So instead of hanging in there and hopefully learning something, I, like so many Americans, just unplug. You know, why can't the news report on all the heartwarming things that happen every day? You know who does that? Ellen DeGeneres and CBS Sunday Morning. You're always going to find a feel-good story there. You know, we've become so immune to the violence and tragedy that we see in the news stations, like family of five are trapped in a burning building or something like that. And, you know, we might say, oh, man, what a shame. I'm going to say a prayer. But if we really want to bring a tear to our eye and, you know, stir some sort of emotion, we want to see something sweet and positive with a happy outcome. Like a teacher who stuck her neck out for her students and how that paid off with huge success. Or the look back at the life of a 95-year-old painter, you know, his journey, his life's work on canvas. These are stories we connect with. And they make a positive impact on our day-to-day, and they give us a joyful story to pass on. I mean, isn't that what we're really looking for? That joyful story that we can pass on. You know, bah humbug, negativity. It's all around us. Negativity perpetuates itself. It breeds dissatisfaction. It clutters the mind. And when the mind is cluttered with negativity, happiness is so much harder to come by. Have you heard about Debbie Downer and Steve Stuck in the Mud? I mean, those are real people, and they want friends and lots of friends. You know, does misery truly love company? Is it that people that are habitually negative, they want to find others who appreciate their point of view and their opinions, thus company? Well, what about you? Do you feel like a positive person? Someone who sees the glass half full or versus half empty? Are you always searching for that silver lining, turning a frown upside down? You are? Well, congratulations. Now more than ever, that is a true rare characteristic. Because at every turn, we meet negative emotions, situations, or outcomes. Have you heard the term, if you can't beat them, join them? Well, if you haven't heard that, it feels like everyone else has heard that because they're joining them in droves. Did you know we produce up to 50,000 thoughts a day? 50,000 thoughts a day. And 70% to 80% of those thoughts are negative. Can you believe that? This translates into 40,000 negative thoughts a day that we need to somehow manage and filter. That could be exhausting. Now, I, for one, am a pretty positive person. I mean, I wouldn't have started a practice like Encouragementology or became a public speaker on how encouragement can really help another person or developed a weekly radio show centered around how to have positive alternatives to some of life's challenges if I weren't just a little bit optimistic. I'm also a problem solver. I know you know problem solvers. If you're not one, you may not identify with this, but you probably know someone. You're having a bad day and you just want to vent. And everything you throw out to somebody is met with, okay, but have you tried this? Or have you thought about that? In this case, misery just wants a sounding board, so zip it. Try to keep it to yourself. But my knee-jerk reaction is to fix it. Now, I'm more aware now, and I try to catch myself, and I just try to offer supportive statements like, oh, really? You don't say. That's awful. I hear you. You know, and I try to keep my fixing and problem solving in check, unless I'm asked, obviously, to go further. Now, listen, I'm not always singing a happy tune or spitting rainbows, of course. I have bad days too. It's important to have a safe place to vent on those days. In fact, it's healthy. But be careful. dumping your heavy negative emotions on someone else over and over can prove to be very taxing. If you do have a close friend or a partner, ask permission to vent. Maybe they're having an amazing day and they were just getting ready to share some awesome news with you, and boom, you drop a thunder rant. Now, that's not fair. And if you don't respect a healthy boundary here, they may not be available for the good and the bad sharing. So let them know you have a few things you'd like to get off your chest or talk through. And then the most important thing here is ask, when is a good time to do that? That's so important. When is a good time? Maybe they need some decompressing after a long day. They've had a bad day themselves. They need a chance just to kind of sit quietly, get rid of some of those feelings first, and then they can be a good sounding board. You know, I have a friend who's a hairdresser, and she confessed that years of being the therapist for the world's problems have taken a toll on her emotionally. You know, really think about it. You get in the chair, the cape wraps around you, and she asks, "So, how have you been?" And you unleash. Imagine that person with the scissors hearing this all day, every day. You know, she becomes an emotional dumping ground for you. And believe me, they don't get paid enough to fix your hair and your problems. So think about that the next time you need to unload on someone. You know, maybe you don't have a human sounding board or somebody that you feel like you can ask that of, or you've exhausted all the ones that you have. Why don't you try journaling? You know, getting it out on paper can be a huge help. You know, there used to be advice, write a letter to the person you need to confront. And even if you never send it, you've said it. So the same principle goes here. You know, or have a conversation out loud with yourself on the drive home. Then you can be as stern, use explicit language, whatever you want to do without offending anyone else. You could have it out with yourself. You know, that might really blow off some steam. It's important not to let negative emotions sit and stew for too long, because really it's a gamble. You could cool down and see the bigger picture and get over it. Or you could start filling in the blanks and really exaggerate the story and then make it worse. And then you're about to blow. One study conducted by psychologists from Harvard School of Public Health and the University of Rochester found that suppressing emotions, this is no surprise, may increase the risk of dying from heart disease and certain forms of cancer. This confirms earlier studies that have linked negative emotions like anger, anxiety, and depression to the development of heart disease. You know, the health risks increase. It seems when people have no way of expressing or acting on their feelings, the researchers say that it builds up and it becomes chronic. You know, our natural fight or flight response never gets satisfied, and it stays in a situation of frustration. Some experts suggest that acknowledging emotions, especially distressing ones, and airing them just from time to time is important. It's an important component of mental health. So that's super important. If you're having a moment, it's okay to let it out. Just really be mindful of the way that you do that. Again, if somebody's in your wake and they have to absorb all of that negative energy, that's going to, I mean, what are you going to do to that person? You feel better, but now what are they going to do with all that information? Now they feel worse. So that's not really fair. So you may want to come up with some healthier alternatives for that. So we're going to take a musical break. I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. And we're going to talk about Annalise Emmerich. You know, she, in 2011, she released her first project, Starry Eyed, to heavy critical acclaim. After it debuted at number nine, on the iTunes singer-songwriter chart, 3 years after the release of her first EP, she returned with Field Notes, a folk-inspired album that was markedly more mature for her, and it demonstrated how much her endless days on the road and years of hard work fostered her growth as an artist and a performer. So we're going to listen to her single, The Sun and the Moon.
has been up for hours, and the moon I can see up there too. And you're still far away in dreamland, but me, I'm just looking at you. I used to be so scared, and I'd sing about terrible things. But you make it so easy. Your love gave me my wings. 'Cause you are the sun and I am the moon. You shine so bright and I like the night. Baby, we fit together. About corny, 'cause baby we waited for this, and the days will never be long enough, no matter how much I wish. And of course today will be perfect, this much I know to be true. And baby, come rain or come shine, it's always just me and you. 'Cause you are the sun.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. Thank you, Annalise Emmerich. I just love her sound. What a great song. So we are going to be featuring a few more of her songs tonight on our show about staying positive and avoiding negativity. Now, before the break, we talked about negative emotions and how some of that can really do some physical damage on us. But if you turn that around, we're turning the smile upside down. Positive emotions can help us stay healthy, especially if we allow ourselves to express them. Now, in a separate study from Harvard, individuals with great emotional vitality have a much lower risk of developing heart disease compared to the less emotionally expressive. This is according to Dr. Laura Kabansky, a professor of human health and development at Harvard School of Public Health and lead author on the study. There are mechanisms at play we don't even fully understand yet, she says, but there is evidence that positive emotions can provide some sort of restorative biology. Restorative biology. So it's time to start getting positive. Obviously, neither positive or negative feelings arise in a vacuum. An essential part of emotional well-being is our ability to create and maintain a conducive environment where our various needs are satisfied and our bodies, minds, and souls are nourished. I mean, we can't be positive if we don't have the right circumstances, right? So it's about putting ourselves in the right circumstances, the right frame of mind. Not all, but a great deal of that which is within our control and can benefit from our care. Not all, but a great deal of that is within our control. That's what we have to remember. You know, even if we hear the negativity, even if we are listening to it, we're seeing it in our feeds, we don't have to take part in it. So you have control. You can turn it off. You can walk away. I'm also going to give you some other strategies that you can do. But the point is, you have some of the control. So I want you to listen to this narrative. Okay? They control how I feel in the morning and are always there when I sleep. They often cause me to feel out of control. They dictate how I react to people around me. They often cause me to feel offended, angry, or hurt, whether it was truly justified or not. They never cease to remind me of my shortcomings and flaws, making me feel inferior and often undervalued. They constantly try to pull me down with discouragement and hopelessness, stealing my peace and joy. Now, who are they, you ask? They are negative thoughts. Negative thoughts are causing havoc, causing us to feel bad about ourselves. They're breeding inside of us and taking over. So it's time you give yourself an intervention and you change lanes. If you veer over into the negative lane and you see yourself careening off the road at a high rate of speed, pump the brakes. Make some healthy and positive changes before you're so off course you don't even realize you're there. You're negative. So, we're going to talk about some ideas to help you stay on course. First of all, spend more time with positive people. I know you've heard this and I've said it. You are the average of the people you spend the most time with. Negative people will pull you in. And if your positivity shield is up and you're deflecting, with each statement, you risk the chance of burning out. I mean, combating every negative with a positive is exhausting. Have you ever done that? Do you have a friend that, no matter what you say, they say something negative, you try to say something positive, and it just goes back and forth, and eventually you go out of bounds. You know, it gets exhausting. Simply detach instead of trying to defend sunlight and happier times. It's important to note that positive people don't always mean similar people. So don't just surround yourself with the same person, yourself. Too much of the same thing can inhibit your growth. So you want to diversify and you want to have healthy arguments. You should have an eagerness to soak up all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of different perspectives. And different people can help you do that. So avoiding negativity and negative people doesn't necessarily mean just finding people just like you. Just think of any negativity that comes to you as raindrops falling onto the ocean of bliss, your ocean of bliss. So as the negativity comes to you, it's just raindrops falling onto your ocean of bliss. So picture a body of water. Let's go ahead with that visualization. Can't say that today. Picture a body of water and the ripples that happen when a drop is added to it. Okay, do you have that in your mind? This represents what positive and negative thoughts can do in your life. So as you think positive thoughts, you emanate that outward as energy, as spoken words, as actions. But the same thing goes for negativity. And this has a far greater impact than you think. So when you spend time around positive people, your energy, your whole well-being thrives. You know, our spirits long for happiness, peace, contentment, you know, joy. They long to be happy. They don't thrive on disempowering emotions of anger, jealousy, resentment, bitterness, anything in that arena. Try redirecting a negative conversation into a positive light. Now, you may not be able to commandeer the content, but you can try to solicit a change. So don't play into the negativity. Don't agree or ask any kind of leading questions just to be kind. You know, you've had those conversations. It's going south and you know you should just get out of there. But you're not really baiting the person, but you're asking questions. You're trying to be engaged, but it just keeps going around a spiral. bring around a different perspective and then leave it. Just kind of drop it into the conversation. No need to defend it or even get defensive. If you can't redirect it, try to simply change the subject. Don't scold them. You know, don't engage in a negative way. Just abort the conversation. Bring up something else. Kathleen Kelly Reardon, the author of Shadow Campus and The Secret Handshake, says to try the 7 R's. Now, I took these R's, which are typically related to communication in the workplace, but I turned them around just to everyday strategies. So the first R is to reframe. So cast the issue in a different light. Reframing is the ability to look at a topic being discussed and the ideas being expressed from like a new perspective and talking from that perspective. So in a way, it's switching the angle of the conversation. So you just sort of take it from blatant negativity and just sort of turn it around. The next R is rephrase. So say the words in a different, less negative way. Put a positive spin. You could rephrase like turning it upside down. We always say that, the upside down. Silver lining, turning it around. This could help you redirect the conversation, or it could make the other person annoyed, and then they could just drop it altogether, which is okay as well. You know, if you're constantly, you know what I mean, you're talking to that negative person, you're constantly reframing or rephrasing, and finally they're just like, forget it. Obviously, this person is not going to join me in my misery, and I'm just going to have to move on. And that's okay too. I told my friend, the hairdresser, that she should put up a sign that had like no negativity talk, you know, and has like a circle around it and a line through it, and just have that right facing the chair where they sit so they can see that. And if they start going in that direction, she could just nudge them ever so slightly away or kind of laugh it off. Oops, we're not talking about that today. Oh, isn't it pretty outside? The sun's shining and I've got so much great things happening this week. You know, just trying to turn it around. You could also revisit, that's another R, revisit. Use an earlier success to redefine a current failure. So what that means is if the people involved in the conversation have had like a previous history with you and there were happier times, better thoughts, more enjoyable events, try bringing those up. This can cause the person who's obsessing sort of to see, step back and maybe see the bigger picture. It also helps, you know, once you have a happy thought and you're recalling something in your memory that was really joyful, it actually helps activate the front of your brain, and it can help someone who's in the obsessive mode kind of snap out of that. So revisit a happy thought. The next one is restate. Clarify or redirect negative wording. So anything can give offense or spark a disagreement. So consider the context. You know, use more positive tones. This could help nudge them in a kinder direction. You know, bring about more happy context to the conversation. Also ask a question. You know, before, I'm sorry, this is R called request, which is to ask a question. Before getting defensive, you may want to clarify their intent, because maybe they're just having a bad day. And then everything has a sour delivery. You know, before you get defensive, what's wrong with you? Maybe ask some gentle questions, clarifying questions. Really isolate their intent before you respond. So that would be request. Ask a question. Then rebalance. Adjust the other person's power. You know, negative breeds negativity, and it can take on a life of its own, and you've seen it happen. Shift the balance by not playing into the pity party. Okay? Hold a firm and positive position. That might encourage them to tip the scale. You know, they want the majority. They want you on their side. And if you don't go there and you hold your position, it could actually pull them out of that as well. And then the last one is to reorganize. Change the priority of the issues. Reorder starting with the positive. Let the person know where you agree versus all the areas you disagree. This will help them see that you actually do have a connection, you know, versus a division of ideas, okay? Let them know where you agree with them first versus, oh, I don't agree with that. That's not what I have. that's going to put them on the defensive. So those are just some ways that you can do that. Also, lead by example. You know, a good day starts and ends with you. It's all your perception. When you wake up, are you going to embrace it? You know, what are you going to embrace that's positive, and what are you going to let go of that's negative? Even if you can't find the positive positivity in the early a.m., why don't you try faking it until you make it? You know, it's a real thing. Create a canned mantra, a positive affirmation to give yourself a boost. Like, hello, day, it's you and me, and we're going to crush it. The act of repeating this over and over again will actually motivate and inspire you. Believe it or not, you can trick your mind if you repeat those words over and over again. So start your day with a positive mantra. You know, most people repeat negative words and statements all day long around every situation and event in their life. They get obsessed. They get stuck. And words work both ways. They can either build you up or they can destroy you. You know, it's in the way that we use them that determines whether they're going to be good for us or harmful for us. So think about that. Even when you're talking to yourself, what are you saying to yourself? Your subconscious mind accepts the truth, and it accepts what you keep saying it. And then it attracts corresponding events and situations. So if you put positive out, you're going to get positive back. So you've heard people say that. Don't put that out in the universe. That's what you're going to be getting back. So if you put out positivity, you enter into every conversation, every room with a positive spirit, you're going to evoke a positive spirit. You know, I bought a t-shirt over Christmas that said, 1 year equals 365 opportunities. And it's true. That's how you're going to start reframing your mind to think about it. It's true. Every day is another day. You have to do it right, to do it better, to do it more joyful, or with more success. You know, I've been asked before, are you a morning person? You're always perky in the morning. Are you really always in a good mood? Well, maybe not always. No one can be. But I do start my day with a positive outlook. And yes, I am a morning person. I really believe you have to find your purpose to motivate optimistic days. You know, so many people think purpose is some sort of immaculate life's work. And so they don't identify with their true calling and what really makes them happy. It could be something as simple as an aspect of what you're already doing, something that you could expand on. So we're going to go into a musical break, but I want you to think that over. I want you to search your likes, things that come easy to you that you could share and impact others. When you tap into that vein, the current will flow, and all of a sudden, doors will open and opportunities will present themselves in a more positive light. So we are going to listen to another song by Annalise. You know, I mentioned she has toured extensively all over the U.S., playing 150 plus shows per year. She even stopped in at Long Branch last year on her tour, which was awesome, so we got to see her. In 2015, Emmerich won the Wildflower Festival Singer-Songwriter Contest in Richardson, Texas. She opened for Gregory Allen Iskakov at a sold-out show in Oregon. She also completed a European tour. A native of Austin, Texas, Emmerich was thrilled to be selected as 2016 Kerrville New Folk Finalist. So this is a perfect song for us to listen to. This is a single of hers called January Blues. And even though we've had pretty decent weather, I'm sure we've got some after holidays January blues.
Haven't left the house in watching way too much TV. Find myself questioning everything I've been building. I think this is a common thing. Everyone's hopes and dreams get a little clouded by the blues of January brings. enough to pass the time, and picking just a few more fights, followed by a sleepless night. I don't know why I act this way, praying for a sunny day. I feel like I'm the only one waiting for the end to come. January, don't do this to me now. I'm out of work and broke, and I just can't lose those 10 pounds. April, May, June just sounds so good right now. Oh, I just can't lose those 10 pounds. April, May, or June just sounds so good right now. Oh, January, January, don't do this to me now. I'm out of work and broke, and I just can't lose those 10 pounds. April,
so we are going to get back to talking about staying positive and avoiding negativity. So we talked about some different approaches that you could take and really put, you know, reframe and reorganize and move people into a more positive direction. You know, we live, as we talked about in the beginning, in a negative world. It seems like that a lot of times. So we don't want to join them, and we obviously can't turn it around on a dime, but we can make small efforts moving in that direction. So another way would be to thoughtfully respond versus react. How many of you just react? You can't control the situation, but you can control your reaction to it. Mountain meet molehill. Molehill meet mountain. So first, pause. The first reaction is typically the emotional one, and it's usually a reaction, not something that's forward-moving action. You know, mentally and internally acknowledging the situation first. Allowing ourselves to acknowledge annoying predicaments and then find constructive ways to express and deal with them serves us so much better in the long run. You know, real issues start to arise when we overreact. For example, someone cutting you off in traffic isn't a reason to scream, stick up your middle finger out the window, and yell at the person in the passenger seat next to you. You know, we've all been there, of course, but the reality isn't, that's not very helpful. It only serves to put us at the risk of creating a bigger issue or an accident. You know, overreactions never make the situation better. In fact, they usually make it worse. Finding a healthy way to handle stress first will help you overcome overreacting. So breathe. That's a good place to start. You know, really taking a look at the situation once it happens. Take a breath. Take a pause. Give yourself a moment. Clear your head. And then offer up an action. Something forward moving. Something that actually produces a result. A positive result. You know, try seeking solutions instead of pity party goers. Of course, situations can be disappointing, but instead of focusing all your energy on what you should have done, focus the majority on your efforts on what you can do next time. You know the captain, right? Captain Obvious, the person who brings up what you did after the fact, which is always super helpful. You know, it's the same thing as I told you so. even if they don't say it, it's the same thing. You know this wouldn't work out well, and now you want me to know that you knew. Way to kick a sister while she's down. We just don't have time for that. Instead, look for the empathetic statement and offer a solution for the next attempt. Oh, I'm sorry that didn't work out well for you. You may want to try this in the future instead of saying, well, I knew that wasn't going to work. I tried to tell you. I saw it coming. You know, none of that is helpful. So I want you to absorb this idea because you could be this for someone else. So whether you get it all the time, you can also give it. So give the empathetic statement and offer a solution for the next attempt. Don't be quick to point out the reason something didn't work. Be patient. Offer constructive ideas for an alternative ending. That's so much more helpful. Exaggerating your misfortune and amplifying your problems keeps you stuck in a dark place. And even when you can't fix a problem, like a major health issue or the state of the economy, you can always take steps to manage your emotions in a healthy manner. Lending a compassionate ear to someone else, we talked about venting, is also a great way. You know, someone who's struggling with a hardship can be one of the, you know, listening to someone struggling with a hardship could be one of the kindest things you could ever do. You know, really being there for someone. Sometimes people just need to feel heard and validated. They just need to get it out. But attending someone's pity party isn't showing compassion. It's about enabling that person to stay stuck in their own misery. It can be harmful to everyone involved. You know, by egging them on and really jumping into the drama with them just keeps them ruminating over an issue. You know, listening compassionately, truly actively listening. You know, there's a difference in active listening. That means you listen to the person and you're piecing together their story while they're telling you their story. You're not turning it into your story. So think about the times when you, if you feel like you're a good listener, someone that hears a story and is listening, and then their mind starts turning to, oh yeah, that happened to me. I remember what I did with, and all of a sudden you're off on your own tangent. That's not active listening. And that's going to make you respond in a way that's not helpful. So active listening is just letting them talk, hearing them, truly hearing them, and being there for them. Smile, even when it's painful. Smile at someone so you get a smile back. And even if you don't get a smile back, that's okay. They got yours. Mother Teresa once said, every time you smile at someone, it's an action of love, a gift to that person, a beautiful thing. So give them your smile. I make it a mission to smile and connect with people visually. So many people try to avoid eye contact today. You know, they're looking at their phones, or worse, they're pretending to be on the phone to avoid a real conversation. I know we've all said it, you know, how in the world did we ever do it before cell phones? But the fact is we did it, and we did it so much better. Communities were more involved, neighbors were more connected, and friends and families had deeper and more meaningful relationships. Okay, sometimes it can be awkward because I can feel their wall, their unwillingness to engage with me. But it doesn't stop me. And if they give me half a glance and half a second, I will engage them verbally and say, good morning. Now, they might walk away and say to themselves, or even out loud, who the heck was that? And why is she so friendly? But I truly believe in hindsight, I lifted their spirits. And even if I didn't lift theirs, they lifted mine. Just the act of doing it. You know, when you've established a healthy boundary for yourself, be open to listening to other people. You know, be a sounding board without offering any advice or any solution. I love this organization that actually goes out and talks with the homeless. And they listen more than they talk. They actually go out with chairs. I've mentioned this on my show before, but they go out and they take chairs, bag chairs with them, and they sit, they find someone and they sit them down so they're right across from them, and they listen to them and they can talk about whatever they want to talk about. They can unload some of their issues that they're having, or they can just talk about dreams and opportunities and things that they want to do. And they're listened to without any judgment. And that is such an important thing. You know, there are three kinds of people, says psychologist Kevin Gilliland. He's the executive director of Innovation 360, a group out of Dallas. There are those who are going to tell you what to do about the problem. We talked about those. And there are those who don't know what to do. Both are equally unhelpful. The best people to confide in are the people who fall right in between the advice givers, who won't listen well, and the cheerleaders, who will just say things like, I believe in you. The ones who will actually listen, but who will say things that you might need to hear. Gillian says that people in the middle don't take sides. They say things that are true, and they ask good questions. So here are a few tips for being a good sounding board. Listen before you talk. You don't have all the answers, and before you listen, you don't even have all the facts. Don't rely on platitudes. I know you can do it sounds canned and disingenuous, and like you aren't really hearing their situation. Figure out what's behind the story. There are so many details in emotions and subcontext. Listen for anger, hurt, or fear, for example. You know, let the person know up front what you're willing to do and set some expectations that you can both be satisfied with. You know, every day can't be packed with rainbows. Real life is about highs and lows, and sometimes the lows let us appreciate the highs. Take a breath and work through it, knowing it's only temporary. You know, research suggests that sadness can help people improve attention to external details, reduce judgment bias, increase perseverance, and promote generosity. All of these findings build a case that sadness has some adaptive functions and should be accepted as an important component of our emotional repertoire. Mild, temporary states of sadness may actually be beneficial in handling all kinds of aspects in our lives. Perhaps that's why, even though feeling sad can be hard, many of the greatest achievements like Western art, music, literature, they all explore the landscapes of sadness. In everyday life, people often seek ways to experience sadness, at least from time to time, like listening to sad songs or watching sad movies or reading sad books. You know, have you ever said, I just need a good cry? So I'm not suggesting smiling through the pain, but, you know, evolutionary theory suggests that we should embrace all of our emotions. Each of them have an important role to play under the right circumstances. So though you might seek ways to be happy all the time, don't push away the sadness. It's there for a good reason. And then keep your eyes fixed on the horizon. Life is short, and drama is the sludge that keeps you from moving forward. Step over it and onward. No one has time for that saga. I'm pretty sure there's a meme or two out there that says, you can't see the horizon if you're always looking over your shoulder. There is some truth to that concept. I mean, how can you make plans for the future if you're constantly engaged in day-to-day banter and drama? Does it serve your purpose? Is it constructive in any way? Is it contributing value? Is that value paying off? No. Okay, then what are you doing? You don't need to insert your two cents to feel valued, and they will figure it out with or without you. So we are going to take our last musical break. We are going to listen to another song by Annalise. She released the Right Heart EP, a collection of love songs, on May 5th, 2017, and continues to tour in the U.S. and in Europe. When she's not on the road, you can find Annalise catching up on her book club reading, hanging out with her husband, and writing new songs in their home in Nashville. And we're going to listen to her song. It's called All I Want to Do Is Be With You.
Look at us, still hand in hand, doing all the things we planned. Sometimes I wish we could go back again. back when it felt like one long day, and we would talk the night away. Back when I couldn't wait to hear you say, all I wanna do is be with you, my love. All I wanna do is be with you, my love, my love. Well, years have passed and our love's grown deeper than the sword and stone, and you're the one who always calls me home. And when the world spins to a blur and everything crashes and burns, I'll be standing saying these same words. All I wanna do is be with you, my love. All I wanna do is be with you, my love. All I wanna do is be with you, my love, my love. Nothing I need more here than you. So let's sail off into the sea and have a couple babies, just me and you. That's how it's supposed to be. 'Cause all I wanna do is be with you, my love.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for sticking around with me tonight. I really appreciate it. We have been talking all night about staying positive and avoiding negativity. And I hope you've picked up some different ideas, different ways that you can reframe, turn the conversation around, or just get out of there. You know, don't buy into the pity party people. Misery does love company, so don't engage. Disengage, move away if you can't change it. You don't have to defend your positive spirit. You know, it's important that you maintain that in this negative world that we live in. And it's important for you to find elements and areas where you can spread that. You know, joyful interactions release a healthy chemical in your brain that is so vital to thriving. And it's so important to find those interactions, and with technology it's difficult to find that today. So I urge you to really reach out and do that. You know, lead by example. If you walk into the room with smiles and positivity and you're ready for the day, that is contagious. People are going to look at that. They want to know what you've got going on, and it might just pull them out of how they're going to start their day with negativity. You know, the healthy benefits of smiling, even faking it. Faking it with your morning mantras. You know, it's going to be a good day. I know it's going to be a good day. And I've got so many opportunities just waiting for me. Start your day with a mantra. You know, let go of the past. Push forward and figure out a new way to attack an old problem. You know, if you are typically getting stuck at the same thing, the same negative thing, if you don't like seeing political ads on Facebook, stop looking at them. Unfriend, unfollow, and I'm sorry, set a nice expectation. I really use this platform for positivity and things to keep connected to people that I care about, and I just can't partake in that kind of activity. And then excuse yourself from the situation. You don't have to continue taking in negativity. You can push away from the negativity. So I challenge you, don't be that guy or girl who can't let things go. Don't be the one who has to point out the obvious shortcomings of everything around them, even the guy standing closest to you. Look up, not down. See the bigger picture. You are the one making a strong push forward or limiting your potential. So pick the other. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Summer through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.